Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom. chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit, and I have great sorrow and increasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen.
Amen.
Please rise. Crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. This is the gospel of our Lord. Let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A little over, in December, 11 years ago, I went to Greece, and I was going to go from there to Rome. I wanted to be there for the midnight mass. I wanted to see that, and then I was going to go up to Prague to visit a friend of mine who was doing mission work up there. He had invited me, so he said, "It's not that much further for you to go, Rod." So I said, "Okay." But I went with a backpack. And I had decided in my heart and mind I was not going to buy any souvenirs. Nothing. All I wanted was my memories and the pictures I would take. That's all I wanted. And I stuck to that with all my mind and will that I could muster up. I came this close maybe to buying a painting. I had gone in Florence to the main church in the square there. I think it's St. Catherine's, maybe St. Mary. I'm not sure. It's one of them wonderful ladies. But I came out and this man had all these paintings of this church. And you've seen pictures of the church. You would recognize it immediately if you haven't been to Florence. It's in movies when they depict Florence. I mean, it's what Michelangelo, how he wound up learning how to make the dome that he built over the Basilica in Rome. But he didn't build the one in Florence. Another person did, but he learned from that person what he did, and he took it to a greater skill or craftsmanship. But anyway, there were all these paintings, and this guy says, you want to buy it? And I said, well, how much? Because it was beautiful. It really was. And I think it was like 30 euro, and I said, nah. He started going down in price. He kept going down. And I kept telling him, I said, no, I only have a backpack. I have no way to carry this. I thought that would convince him, but he kept dropping the price down, down, down. And I'm walking away, and as I'm walking away, he's saying 5 euro, and my feet are slowing down. I'm going, how could I resist 5 euro? But I did. It's hard to resist a good deal, isn't it? When you see a good deal, I mean, I'm in the supermarket. I try not to pass by Bluebell ice cream. Because once in a while, it's like $2 off of it, and I go, well, I got to buy that now. So, I like good deals. Who doesn't like a good deal? And we know how sales people can be at trying to convince us to buy something, even when we don't really need that. They're good at what they do. If they're really good salesmen, they'll sell you anything. I was looking at a cartoon of that Larson did, Far Side. You remember Far Side comics? Or the little, always one pain, that's all he did. And there's one where the salesman's coming and there are all these Eskimo igloos. I guess Inuit now. But, you know, and behind them, each of them are refrigerators. And it says in the caption, whatever his name was, best salesman in the world. We kind of hear a little bit of sales talk, it sounds like, from our Lord in Isaiah through our prophet Isaiah. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. What a deal! No money. Just come and it's free? Who wouldn't want that deal? Right? I mean, anyone in here would not want that deal right there? Right? When Isaiah is speaking, he's speaking to the people of Israel who have been in captivity for some time now. And captivity was to Assyria, and King Cyrus is telling those who want to go home, go back to Israel, that they can go. But you know, over time, a lot of the people got used to where they were living. They had made their homes there. Some of them had their children there. Some of them had their grandchildren there. They had made a life for themselves while they were far away from their home. And really, many did not want to go back to Israel. And many would not go back, because they already had what life could offer them, I guess, one might say. They had homes there. Their kids had friends. They had friends there. They had other relatives that didn't want to go and probably were saying, oh, don't go back there. It's going to be filled with hardship. You know, that land's been desolate for some time now. I mean, they were going back to build the walls around Jerusalem, to put things back the way they were, to build the temple back. That's going to take a long time. That's hard labor. Look what we've done here. We've made a life for ourselves. See, that's what they were hearing. But were they really satisfied? Because they didn't have the temple worship anymore. They couldn't make sacrifice to God as God had prescribed for them through Moses, that they were to do certain things on an annual basis. How they would receive forgiveness through sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. How they would bring their first fruits to the temple to present them to the Lord. They couldn't do any of that stuff because the temple had been in Jerusalem, and only where the temple was could they do such things. Now they had their places of worship. They still had that, but they couldn't do what was prescribed for them to do, what was necessary, really, for them to do. As a memorial, they were to remember certain days and certain events that happened in their lives, how God rescued them from Egypt, how he led them out and took care of them in the wilderness, how he fed them quail and manna to sustain their bodies, how he provided for them when they had no water by providing it through a rock. God always watched over them and looked over them out of his great love for his people. Even though his people didn't always love him, nor did they always obey him. That's why they had been in Assyria. But now they're being given that good news that they can go back. And many don't want to go back. So God says to them, you're not satisfied. Your souls are not satisfied. You spend your money on things hoping to fill in that place that is in your heart that is missing. And that missing part was following through with God's ordinances and commands. That gave them a connection with God. They knew God was listening to their prayers. They knew the priest spoke for God to them, the forgiveness that was being poured out on them on the Day of Atonement. All those things, of course, pointed to the greater priest, the high priest, Jesus. The sacrifice and the sacrificer. The Lamb and the priest. And God even mentions that. But God says, come back, really. Come and receive freely the things that you used to have. Because these other things aren't satisfying you. Come back. Because you will once again be my witnesses as David was my witness to the peoples. Because there is a day that is coming that you will see a people or a nation that you have not known, and nations that have not known you will come running. Why? Because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Come and receive freely from the Lord that which satisfies and sustains you. Then we hear the gospel lesson for this morning on that day when the Lord truly is among his people. And once again, he is going to give them freely from his bounty. But it's also pointing to a greater event, this miracle that takes place among so many people. 5,000 plus women and children. And that greater miracle takes place on Monday, Thursday at the Last Supper. Here in the wilderness, in the desolate place where people have gone out to meet Jesus, to see him, to bring to him, in a desolate place, those who are sick, so that he may heal them. Nothing will stand in their way because they know they have no one else. See, in our day, we take for granted medicine, don't we? I mean, we go to the doctor, and not one of us expects that we will leave from that office without any kind of medicine if we're sick. I mean, we're so used to it. There's medicine for everything. And we get upset when there's not a medicine for something we might have. And we think to ourselves, well, come up with something. You know, on Star Trek, Dr. McCoy did it in less than an hour. Every time. Those people grew old one time and he made them young again. What a doctor. Well, there's one greater. We know Christ. Because the medicine he gives us is a life-giving medicine. And that is his body and blood. He gives it to us so that we can have life eternal in his kingdom. See, this message to the Israelites who have been in captivity is good news. All of it is good news. Don't keep throwing away your money on things that don't matter. In other words, Jesus might say, don't store up treasures except in heaven. That's where your treasures should be. Because anything that you acquire here in this world will fade away. It will rust. You know how it is when you get a new car, any kind of new thing. It's exciting and great to have it. You want all your friends and family to know your great, you know, new vehicle or great new cell phone or great new computer or TV or whatever the electronic thing is. We get excited, especially if we get a good deal. But after a while, the newness wears off. Something new is coming out, and it's much better, and we think we got to have that. We get caught up in that. All Christians do. We get caught up in that stuff. And we need to take a break and stop. Is this really that important? Will this satisfy my heart, my hungry heart, my longing for the Lord to return? And the answer, of course, is no. But we might think, well, it'll be good for a little while at least. But a little while is just that. A little while goes by quickly. I'm 65. That went by. Whew! I look back by decades. I don't know how y'all do it, but I always go by decades. I look back and I'll see in the mirror and I'll look at a picture. That's only 10 years ago. What happened to me? I used to have all that hair. But it goes away. It all goes away. Why? Because of sin. The earth is full of decay and death. And God comes to us and says, quit chasing things of this world. Instead, come to me because what I have to give you is far better. It is superior. It is wonderful. Come and receive it freely. No price. It won't cost you a dime. You don't have to do a thing. It's yours. Come and receive it. Take it. The rich food that I have to offer. Jesus told his disciples and the multitudes that he is the bread of life. He even told them, you know, your fathers, your ancestors, they got to receive manna from heaven. But I'm the bread of life. Whoever thirsts, Jesus says, come to me and you will not thirst again. Who is ever hungry among you, come and receive and you will be filled. You will be satisfied. That's what happens here at this altar and at altars throughout the world that remember that this is about Christ and His gifts to us. He gives us baptism so that we are cleansed, so that our old Adam is drowned in the waters of baptism, and that new man in Christ, woman in Christ, child in Christ is raised up. Yes, we still sin, but we always turn back to God because we know that's not what we want in our lives. We don't want to be like the world, rushing around trying to find something that satisfies, because we already have that which satisfies. Jesus told his disciples on the night when he was betrayed, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood, given and shed for you. For you, and for me, and for the whole world. He feeds us today just as he fed, and in a greater way, a greater miracle takes place than what happened in that desolate place. Greater, because our Lord gives us Himself. Not with words that are high platitudes or something like that. Not figuratively, but literally, He gives Himself to us to nourish us and strengthen us and keep us moving forward until the day He returns. And what a wonderful day that will be when all the struggling ceases, when all the death finally finish. You know, it's kind of like you watch the news and you hear the president or other people saying, you know, if the president hadn't done this or that, millions of people would have died. Or he saved 1,000 people or thousands of people. And that may be true, but not really. Because death is inevitable. It will happen at some time. Death has been postponed for many from COVID-19. Not to be confused with the other one. But it will come. But for those who are in Christ, it is but passing through a gate. It is entrance into heaven until the day He returns and He lifts our bodies up anew. And our souls and our bodies are once again in the image that God made man to be at the very beginning of creation. And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And there will be no more sin. There will be no more sorrow. There will be only joy because of the free gift that we have in Christ Jesus. It is free because it comes to us by God's grace through faith alone. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Lord, you have bidden us to come without money, to receive grace beyond price. Hear us as we heed your call and turn to you in prayer, confident of your promise to hear and answer us. Father, we have sought meaning, comfort, and sustenance from all the wrong places. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that our hearts may be turned to your word, that we may hunger for your Son's body and blood, and that we may discern truth from error. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father, we give thanks that you have blessed us beyond what we deserve and given to us your church. Guard her life by your Spirit and strengthen her witness before the nations. Bless all pastors and church workers in their service to us in your name. And bless those now considering and preparing for church work vocations. Lord, in your mercy.
Yes.
Father, we too quickly focus on what we lack and not upon your unlimited grace. Bless all relief agencies and services of your church on behalf of the hungry, the homeless, the hurting, and those who have lost hope. Bless those visited by disaster and tragedy and open our hearts to help them recover from their loss. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we are daily blessed to know abundance and freedom. Bless those who defend us from our enemies, who serve us in government, and to protect us in our communities. Be with our president, the Congress, our governor, and our judges and magistrates, that they may discern the right path and lead us with honor and integrity. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we suffer all manner of ills and afflictions. Hear us and grant to us healing according to your will. Strengthen in time of trial and peace at the last. We pray especially for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galabias, Jan Johnson, Bo Wolf, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Sue Daniels, Pat Bias, and Jenny Turner. And those whom now we name from our hearts. Good Lord, deliver us and teach us to depend upon your grace in all things. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father, we know that your steadfast love and mercy are forever, but our faith is daily tested and tempted. Give us strength and endurance that we may not despair, but have confidence in your sufficient grace. Guide us to seek our consolation in your word and sacraments, and prepare us to receive the Lord's body and blood in this Holy Communion. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father, we are daily and richly surrounded with your love and care. Grant us eyes to see your mercies new every morning, and grateful hearts that what we have received we may share with those in need and generously support the work of your church. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we remember the saints who lived by your mercy and died in Christ. We long for that day when all division will end and the church in heaven and earth shall be one in your presence, singing your praise and your kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy. Father, we ask you to grant us all things needful and to keep from us all things harmful to us and to our salvation. For we trust your wisdom and your love. Teach us to pray without fear. Your will be done. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.